Second Chronicles, the book of Second Chronicles, chapter 10. Second Chronicles, chapter 10. It's good to be back with y'all this morning. I appreciate the invitation to be back with you, to be able to share another portion of God's Word. With this beautiful day that we have outside, it was a bit cloudy on the way here, but I think it's getting a little bit sunnier, and it's always good to be with God's people on the Lord's Day. This morning I would like to go into the Old Testament and try to draw some lessons that I think may apply to us as Christians today, and see what God's Word would have us to do and what God's Word would have us to be. I remember speaking with Brother Raymond a few years ago. This was the first time that Raymond had called and had asked me to come to preach here. And answered the phone, and his old voice, Raymond Byers. And then we talked from there for a little while. And he told me a little bit about the church here. And one thing that really stuck with me was that he mentioned that this was a church that had been around for decades, but had never had really gone through a lot of turmoil internally. And I recognize that now, 3-4 years later, it's a little different. It's a little different. When Jessica and I were here a few weeks ago, it was very evident this church has changed. It doesn't take a lot of observation skills to recognize difficult times have been here the last few months, and this church is different. How does God have us respond to this? What I want to do is go into the Old Testament, especially 2 Chronicles 10, and try to see what example does God set for us in similar times with His people in the Old Testament, and what lessons does He have for us, and especially how would He have us act during these times. So I ask you, get out your Bibles, let's study together, and let's go into it. Here's the question that I want us to seek to answer this day. How did God's people respond to adverse times? Certainly, adverse times are not new. You can go all the way back to Genesis 3 and recognize that the people of God have always had difficulty. And even collectively, God's people have had difficulty. For decades and decades, this church was pretty harmonious, unified. But things have changed. Difficult times have come, and difficult times perhaps are still here. Adversity is here. Collectively, God's people have gone through this many times before, and God has had similar responses for them, but especially within current circumstances, what lessons can we learn for how did God's people respond to adverse times? So let's begin in 2 Chronicles. We're going to read the whole all of chapter 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam the son of Nebat heard of it, for he was in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. Then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came and said to Jeroboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. He said to them, come to me again in 3 days. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer this people? And they said to him, if you will do good to the people and please them and speak their words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him said, thus you shall speak to the people who said to you thus, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now whereas your father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day. And the king said, come to me again the third day. And the king answered them harshly in forsaking the counsel of the old men. King Rehoboam spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people. For it was a turn of affairs brought about by God, that the Lord might fulfill His word, which He spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Each of you to your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David. So all Israel went to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor. And the people of Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam quickly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. It's a horrible time for the nation of Israel. Utterly horrible. If you think back, you don't need to turn there. But in 2 Kings chapter 11, God, through the prophets that we have here in verse 15, Ahijah the Shilonite, had told Jeroboam, there is a time that you are going to be king. And he had the illustration with the tribes and told there's a time coming when they're going to divide. And so then, whenever Jeroboam went against Solomon, God told Jeroboam, it's not during the time of Solomon that you're going to reign. But there's coming a time when you're going to reign. So I recognize God's hands in this. But let's understand this from the perspective of the people. The people did not recognize that it was God who was ultimately fulfilling this through the prophet. So what are the people thinking? Well, from the perspective of the people, Solomon worked them like mules. I mean, think of what all Solomon did. Solomon built one of the greatest temples, a great house. He accumulated wealth. He built up the nation. And as glorious and as wonderful as that was, it was hard work. So the people were tired. After Solomon dies and then Rehoboam takes over, the people were tired. They had been worked to death. And so whenever their son comes on, Rehoboam, the people tell him, Rehoboam, your father did a lot, but lighten our yoke. Just lighten our yoke. So then, Rehoboam gets counsel. He gets counsel, and the old men tell him, listen to the people. If you want the people to follow you, listen to the people. But then he goes to the young men. Oh, no. You think these people have any right to tell you what to do? You'd make it harder for them. They want you to lighten it, but you make it harder for them. So then Rehoboam listens to the young men. He makes it harder for them. He sends the taskmaster over the people. And when the people recognize that Rehoboam has rejected their counsel and has rejected their request, they're furious. They kill the taskmaster. They come together and they stone the man. And then nearly all the tribes follow Jeroboam. Jeroboam, who was not in the lineage of David. Jeroboam, whom God had not anointed before the people. They follow Jeroboam. Now, I think it's interesting from the people's perspective why they follow Jeroboam. It's not because he's the right king. It's not because he's the righteous king. But it's because he has the promise that he's going to make it easier on the people. Sounds like the 2016 election a little bit, doesn't it? You know, we'll just make it easier on the people. Right? You get the change and the hope and everything that's involved. And that's what the people want. They want it easier on themselves. So they don't follow Jeroboam because he's more righteous. They don't follow him because they even think that's what God wants them to do. They follow Jeroboam because he makes it easier on them. They weren't happy. They give up on the king, so they find a new one. Well, how then do the kings respond? We are going to see immediately after this what Rehoboam does. Read with me beginning in chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen warriors to fight against Israel, to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up to fight against your relatives. Return every man to his home, for this thing is from me. So they listened to the word of the Lord and returned and did not go against Jeroboam. Immediately after the kingdom divides, Jeroboam has his 10 tribes and Rehoboam has Benjamin and Judah. Rehoboam wants revenge. He wants to restore what he lost. And so his inclination is, you know what? I'm going to get every last warrior I can find, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to get my kingdoms back. These people think they can leave me. These people think they can leave the true king of David. I'm going to show them. And so his desire, verse 1, was to fight against Israel. Now it says here he wanted to restore the kingdom. But ultimately, what did Rehoboam want? Rehoboam didn't want everyone to be happy and get along. Rehoboam didn't want even unity in his kingdom. He wanted to rule his people. Can y'all imagine how many workers Rehoboam lost? His workforce dwindled to nothing, essentially. His resources dwindled to minimal. Everything that Rehoboam had counted on to build up his kingdom, everything that he thought he was going to have to make the kingdom of his father even greater, to build up the kingdom of his grandfather, almost all those resources are gone. And so he wants to go and he wants to fight. And so then, the man of God comes and he says, Rehoboam, you don't do it. And to Rehoboam's credit, I don't want to make him the true villain, but to Rehoboam's credit, he does listen. He listens to God's warning. But then notice what he does in verse 5. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem, and he built cities for defense in Judah. He built Bethlehem, Edom, Tekoa, Bethsur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marisha, Ziph, Adorim, Lachish, Zekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron. Fortified cities that are in Judah and Benjamin. He made the fortresses strong and put commanders in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. And he put shields and spears in all the city and made them very strong. So he held Judah and Benjamin. So notice here what he does. Rehoboam, rather than going out to fight, he builds up his defenses. So all the people of the tribes that followed Jeroboam, I'm going to defend myself against them. I'm not going to let them back in. I'm not going to let them get to us. And there's no telling what all Jeroboam was trying to fight against. But he puts up a defense and he ain't going to let them back in. So after the kingdom divides, Rehoboam's angry. He's hurt. He's distraught. And his first inclination is, I am going to fight and get back what's mine. Well, is Jeroboam any better? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. Keep your markers in 2 Chronicles. But in 1 Kings chapter 12, we're going to see here what Jeroboam's response is. 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning in verse 25. 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning in verse 25. So this is after the division. Okay, this is after the division. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to the Lord, to Rehoboam the king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam king of Judah. So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, You've gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Build your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel and the other one in Dan. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan as before one. He also made temples in high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like a feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar, but he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he devised in his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. So out of fear, he set up false idols. So let's understand what Rehoboam was. Rehoboam, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get what's mine back. Jeroboam, I've gotten all these tribes, I'm not losing a one. I have all these workers, I have all these warriors, I have all these resources, I'm not losing one of them. So he wants power. He wants to maintain his power, and he wants to maintain what he's gained. And so, to keep what's his, to keep what he's gained, he sets up false idols. If you go through the book of Leviticus, the people had to go to Jerusalem, to the ark, to the holies, and to the Levites, to make many of their sacrifices. The feast that they had, many required them to go to the place where the Holy of Holies was, to the place where the Levites were. That was in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is now where Rehoboam is. So if the people go to Jerusalem, they may start seeing some of the other people from Judah and Benjamin that they knew. And then they may want to leave Jeroboam and they may want to go to Rehoboam. And then if he starts to lose some of his warriors, then he's going to lose some of his nation. Then if he may have an entire tribe to rebel because they remembered that they're actually supposed to go to Jerusalem to do a lot of this, well, then he's just going to lose his nation. So he leaves the way of God, leaves the path of the Leviticus, leaves the teachings of God, builds up false idols, builds false feasts, and even gets false priests. And where did this come from? Verse 33. He went up to the altar that he made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month that he devised from his own heart. Now, doesn't this seem like a time that the people would really want to rebel? I mean, God, their real king, gave them a law, and Jeroboam is leaving this. But no. The people just want their work easy. They want their lives to be easier. So they left Rehoboam. They get an easier lifestyle. And they traded in for the false idols and for the false calves that Jeroboam built. So after the kingdom split, I really don't think either Rehoboam or Jeroboam provides us an example. Rehoboam's first inclination, I'm going to fight. Get back what's mine. Jeroboam, I'm not going to lose a thing, so I'm going to devise false ways, false idols, false priests, and I'm not going to lose a tribe. So what should the people have done? Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. 2 Chronicles 11, beginning in verse 13. And the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel presented themselves to him from all places where they lived. For the Levites left their common lands and their holdings and came to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons cast them out from serving as priests of the Lord. And he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat idols and for the calves that he made. And those who set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their fathers. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam the son of Solomon secure For they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. The Levites had it right. Turn with me real quick to Numbers chapter 25. I'm sorry, Numbers 35. Numbers chapter 35. I want us to understand what the Levites actually went through here. So Numbers 35 tells us where all the Levites were to go once they got into the land. Numbers chapter 35, beginning in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan of Jericho, saying, command the people of Israel to give the Levites some of their inheritance of the possession as cities for them to dwell in. And you shall give to the Levites pasture lands around the cities. The Levites shall be theirs to dwell in. And their pasture lands shall be for cattle and for the livestock and for all their beasts. Their pasture lands of the cities which you give to the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits around the city. And you shall measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, the city being in the middle. This shall belong to them in the pasture land for their cities. The cities that you shall give to the Levites shall be 6 cities of refuge, where you shall permit the manslayer to flee, and in addition to them you shall give 42 cities. All the cities that you give to the Levites shall be 48 with their pasture lands. And as for the cities that you give from their possession to the people of Israel, from the larger tribes you shall take many, and from the smaller tribes you shall take few, each in proportion to the inheritance that it inherits shall give to the cities of the Levites. The Levites weren't an intact tribe like the others that had a land. They had, if you'll read with me in verse 6, 6 cities of refuge plus 42 additional cities of refuge, making a total of 48 cities. So the Levites were scattered around Israel, the whole nation, into 48 cities. So whenever Jeroboam then, it says in verse 14, the Levites left their common lands, 48 of them, in their holdings, and came to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons cast them out from serving as priests of the Lord. The Levites had to leave their home. They had to leave the place where they'd raised their kids. They had to leave the place where their grandparents had lived. They had to leave their family farms. They had to leave their family lands because they wouldn't follow Jeroboam. When Jeroboam says, I am going to establish my false priest, the Levites wouldn't follow it. God said, we can only accept these offerings in these feasts at His temple. I'm not going to Dan. I'm not going to Bethel. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. The Levites left everything. They left their homes. They left their cities. They left many of their friendships they would have developed. Because they knew their choice. Either stay and sin in the ways of Jeroboam, or leave everything that I've had in this world, go to Jerusalem, and seek the Lord there. What a contrast that is. Jeroboam says, I want everybody and I'm not losing a person. I'll build false idols, I'll build false feasts, I'll even get a false priesthood if I need to. Rehoboam says, I'm not going to lose a person, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight to get back what's mine. And then the Levites, I'm not going to worry about my land. I'm not even going to worry about my physical home. I'm going to do what the Lord's told me. And I'm going to go to Jerusalem. When we think then about the context of this local church, in many ways a division happened. And y'all have the same choice that Rehoboam, Jeroboam, and the Levites had. Jeroboam and Rehoboam were so caught up in all the politics. They were so caught up in all the battles. They were so caught up in what everything that was going on, in all the struggles and all the battles, that they were going to keep everything. They forgot God. To neither of them was it about what was pleasing to God. It was all about the national politics that was going on. But then you have the Levites. And those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, to the God of their fathers. They didn't seek politics. They didn't seek battle. They didn't seek revenge. They'd set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel. The New Testament gives similar teachings. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In like manner, just as the Levites in their faithfulness strengthen the kingdom, our faithfulness can strengthen the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. For the Lord direct your hearts to love God and to steadfastness of Christ. My prayer for this church is not this. May the Lord direct your hearts to revenge. My prayer is not this. May the Lord direct your hearts to all the personal politics. My prayer is not this. May the Lord direct your hearts to anger. But my prayer is this. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God, to the steadfastness of Christ. What God has given us a charge to do is not to get involved in everything that Satan throws at us. Satan divided the kingdom. He put anger in the hearts. He put malintent. And he got his way. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on this earth. For some of you, this seems like the end of the world. For some of you who raised your children here, for some of you who were founding members, for some of you who are been here longer than I've been alive, this current time seems like it's over. You know, we had a good thing going for a few decades, but it's over. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Brethren, I urge you, don't forget to serve the Lord. It's not a matter of whether we're following the right king. If Jeroboam had been the one to keep Jerusalem and to follow God, who do you think the Levites would have followed? I know it's a hypothetical question. But the Levites weren't interested in following a king. They weren't interested in national divides. They weren't even interested in keeping their own land. they were interested in seeking the Lord. Don't forget the principles of God. Don't forget that in everyday life you have to follow God. And don't forget to seek the Lord. So what's your choice? How do we respond to tough times? Well, we could respond like Jeroboam, forsaking God for personal gain. Jeroboam set up false idols, he set up false feasts, he set up a false priesthood. He did everything for the sake of power. Ultimately, Jeroboam died and he was judged. And we see even, it wasn't long later, that God judges him through another nation. Rehoboam shouldn't have been concerned about Jeroboam. Whenever God told Rehoboam through the man of God, don't go up and fight with them. Don't do it, Rehoboam. Don't. You stay and you watch over your land. I don't know how Rehoboam took it, but I don't think it was very good. But I do know he did follow God in that manner, and he did watch over his land, and for 3 years at least he was faithful to God. The same temptation's here. Rehoboam's inclination was, I'm going to go back and I'm going to get everything else. I'm not going to let him take all of them away. Rehoboam, here's your choice. You seek retaliation over God, or mind your own business, keep to your own nation, and follow the Lord. If I'd been in Israel, most people, it seems, were getting so involved in it. Am I with Jeroboam? Am I with Rehoboam? Rehoboam didn't listen to us. We told Rehoboam, if you just make it easier on us, Rehoboam, we're not going to leave you. But then he didn't listen to us, so he should step down and we should get another king. And then those who are following Jeroboam, you know what? Those who ended up following Rehoboam said, Jeroboam doesn't have a right to be king. We're going to stay with the right king. They got so involved. But then there's the Levites. They sought God with all their heart, forsaking all else, even their own homes, for Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 16. And those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their fathers. Get out your songbooks, please. I recognize this sermon this morning has not been intended nearly at all for those who are not yet in Christ. And I recognize that nothing has really been said about what it takes to get into His kingdom. But I think we have seen what the life is like of the one who overcomes the world to follow God. When you look at the outcomes of those who follow Jeroboam, it's only a couple years later Jeroboam's attacked. Rehoboam, it's only about 3 years later that he's attacked. Most of the people following them, you know, they were into it, they were following, they were gung-ho, but God judged them. But then you have the Levites, who overcome the world, who left the world, who left their physical life and everything they had so that they could follow God. And it tells us that they strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam the son of Solomon secure, for they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. There is no comparing the life of one who's in the world to the life who's one overcome the world. The person who's left in the world and who clings to the world goes like this. When the world goes one way, we go that way. When the world goes another, we go that way. When the world goes this way, we go another. And our life becomes so chaotic, it becomes so unorganized, it becomes absolute chaos because the world dictates who we are, what our happiness is, what we're doing. But then you have the Levites. I would venture to say that many of their homes were used for pagan purposes later. Many of their cities of refuge were probably deteriorated. At some point they were, at least in 720 when Assyria came. And they were left for ruin. But the Levites didn't care. I won't say that. I imagine it must have been the hardest thing that most of them ever had to do. But they sought the Lord. And they overcame everything that was going on in the nation. And God strengthened them, and they strengthened, and He strengthened Rehoboam because of it. Overcome the world. When you're baptized into Jesus, He washes away the sins of this world. He washes away the cares of this world. And He leaves for us a new man. One who is filled with grace. One who is filled with love. One who is filled with an eye that is set not on the world, but is set on heaven. A life that is so filled with joy and with happiness that we can overcome anything in this world because God is our refuge. He is our home. He is our rock. And we're going to seek Him above all else. We can remain in the world, be tossed to and fro, let every care of this world get us down, live a life of misery, live a life of anxiety, live a life that is so overwhelmed by concern that we are just in constant anxiety. What's our choice? To follow the Lord or to follow the world? Be like the Levites. If you're not in Christ, follow the example of the Levites. If you're in Christ, follow the example of the Levites. If you have any need, as we stand and sing, please come forward.